Good morning. We mean serious business today. That's what this means. All right. Happy. Exactly. Reign of terror. All right. So welcome to the capital investment meeting. It's now in order. And Representative Hansen, could I get a approval of the previous minutes from Tuesday, March 11th?
I would move those amazing minutes.
They are amazing. Thank you for noticing that, Representative Hansen. Members, do we have any discussion, comments, concerns? All right, minutes are approved. Let's see here. So we're having informational hearings again today on what? Our local water sewer infrastructure bonding projects, another very exciting day. And so we're going to have to move fast again, as in previous committees, with a five-minute maximum time limit per presentation. That also includes member questions, Representative Scraba and Representative Carroll. and then, Ms. Nelson here will hold up a little note here letting you know when there's 2 minutes left and when there's 30 seconds left. And once that that buzzer goes, I may just go like this, and then you are done, okay? So we are going to have up first Representative Scott. Please make your way to the testimony table with your testifiers, followed by, we're going to have to just kind of skip around today. Who are we going to have up? Okay, so after that, we'll either have Representative Rarick, so please be on ready in case we're calling you up. Otherwise, it'll be Representative Hudson. Okay. Mr. Look, nice to see you. All right, Representative Scott, you may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 1904 is a capital investment bill for $10.5 million for some clean water action that needs to happen in East Bethel, the city of East Bethel, which I represent. And I won't belabor the issue since we're given 5 minutes. I'll just hand it over to the city administrator for the city of East Bethel, who is here with more details.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Sure. My name is Matt Look, city administrator for the city of East Bethel. Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. I'm here to testify on a very important project in the North Metro. The North Metro has been home to landfills that back in the day were not necessarily designed to protect groundwater supply. Wells in East Bethel have produced high levels of tannins, radium, manganese, and volatile organic compounds, VOCs. I've included in your packet a letter, but there's also a handout that if members are interested, a little more detailed than one page, that includes a letter from the Minnesota Department of Health identifying these concerns and their geographical location on the one-page handout you have there. The problem is that this is in close proximity to two schools. The schools reached out to the city and asked what would be the possibility of hooking up a city sewer and water services to get off of a failing septic system that they have and a well system that produces water that looks like lemonade. The reason we're here today is to ask for your help for the necessary resources to hook up to these two schools. The good news is that we can treat this water and remove the contaminants, enhance public health and safety for the children. And the request is for bonding to complete the water lines, the wells, tower, and water treatment plant. East Bethel was in the news dating back to 2010 when they invested $20 million into an infrastructure, the infrastructure necessary to hook up the Met Council reclamation plant. And sewer collection system has a forced main that will facilitate this project. We don't have to invest in that part of it. The unfortunate reality is those bonds will not be paid off till 2040. The city is a population of 11,000 people and does not have the financial capacity to add another $10 million in city bonds to even consider this project. And the school exposure to water concerns and failing septic system creates urgency. But for a state grant, this would not happen anytime soon. And so I'd appreciate your support and consideration on this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Look. Members, do we have any questions, comments? Okay, seeing none, thank you so much. Appreciate your time. All right, do we have Representative Rarick? Okay, Representative Hudson? Representative Duran? All right, so. Okay, well, we'll go, Representative Nelson, you want to? Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Hello, Representative Nathan Nelson, and I am introducing the bonding projects for the Chisago County. In Chisago County, it's on Rush Lake. It's extending their sewer infrastructure. So with that, I would turn it over to my testifiers.
Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Hi, I'm Becky Myers. I'm representing the Shorewood Park Sanitary Sewer District in Chisago County. This project extends the existing Shorewood Park Sanitary Sewer District around part of Rush Lake in Chisago County. The state has deemed this project critical. It's number 57 on the MPCA's project priority list of 300 critical wastewater projects. We've had bills the past 5 years to address the deteriorating water quality of Rush Lake, Rush Creek, and the St. Croix River. In fact, Representative Lee, we presented this on your bus tour in Braham 3.5 years ago, so we're hoping this year we cross the finish line. Our bill originally requested $2.2 million in state funding to complete the project, but due to securing federal funding, our ask is now $600,000, much less. Quick, where we're located, Rush Lake is part of the lower St. Croix River watershed, short distance west of the St. Croix River in Chisago County and 55 miles north of the Twin Cities. Rush Lake feeds directly into the St. Croix River through Rush Creek, its major outlet. And a fun fact, Rush Lake is the largest lake in the I-35 corridor between Forest Lake and Lake Superior. Rush Lake and Rush Creek have been on MPCA's inventory of impaired waters since 2002 due to nutrient load and elevated phosphorus levels. In 2010, a finding of unacceptable E. coli levels was added for Rush Creek. The sewer district is a self-funded community sewer system. It was established in 1982, serving 102 homes. It was originally established to address the sewer discharge in the lake. In 2018, additional landowners explored the idea of expanding the sewer system by adding 23 homes. They were formally annexed into the district in 2020, and many of these septic systems have been tagged as failing and non-compliant by Chisago County. So where we are now to date, we've spent over $129,000 in residents' monies, or $5,600 per home. They've been spent for planning, legal, and some engineering to start the project. And as a result of these efforts, we're very close to being shovel ready, and construction could be soon as remaining funds are obtained. And why this is critical, the project is cost prohibitive. We're not funded by any township, city, county authorities at all. We're self-supporting, and it's really unfair to burden the homeowners with such an enormous cost, upwards of $26,000 more per home. In conclusion, we know that removing the private septic systems from the lakeshore is essential to reversing the conditions. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Mr. Findell, if you want to talk, please state your name to the
record. I'm Dean Findell. I'm the with the Shorewood Park Sanitary Sewer District member. And we just appreciate you listening to our spiel here today, and hopefully that we can get this across the board. We have a lot of retired people in these houses and not a lot of income, so we're hoping that this will get through to you guys to fund this for us. We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Members, do we have Representative Ryer?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative, for bringing this forward. It was great to hear that you got federal funding and bring that down. That's good news. And I just want to confirm that with all we're hearing about funding being canceled, that's secure at this point, or is it still pending coming from the federal government?
We hear it is secure.
Ma'am, please go through the chair. Ms. Ryer, you can.
We do hear that the funding that we've received is secure. We've met with the project engineers on the federal level from their EPA, and we are moving forward with the paperwork.
And we have been in contact with the EPA specialist taking care of our project. So as far as we know, it's still a go. So.
Representative Scraba.
Thanks, Chair. Are the rates enough to put depreciation away to fix in the future? Are your rates at a fair rate?
Mr. Findell?
Can you repeat that, please?
Mr.
Sure. In order to up, Madam Chair, if you're going to do any maintenance on this in the future, do the rates have money in it to do the maintenance in the future on it from the users?
Right.
Basically, after this, will you be able to provide?
Yes.
Mr. Findell?
There's a $60 charge per month for the residents that are hooked up to the system, and that's been covering all of our costs. So,
Representative Scraba? Okay. Any other further member comments? Representative Nelson, final words?
Well, thank you for this opportunity to present this bill, and I would appreciate the consideration of adopting it.
All right. Thank you so much for making your way down and testifying in front of the funnest committee we have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Duran, you are up next. Please make your way to the testifying table with your testifiers. What do we have next? Representative Eric here. All right, please state your name for the record. You may continue.
Representative Duran, I represent District 2A here, and I'm here to present House File 1528. Madam Chair, thank you very much, and committee members for hearing me out today. Today is a big bill here, great bill. This will be for Northern Township in Beltrami County and just surrounding the northern part of Bemidji, Lake Bemidji here. We're helping to preserve the waterways and everything, so I'll pass it off to our presenter here to tell you guys more about things.
All right. So we have is it Mr. Lawn?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. It's Chris Lane.
Lane, okay, thank you. Yep. You may state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am Chris Lane, Administrator for Northern Township, and today I'm here to discuss our request for $14 million to protect both Lake Bemidji and the headwaters of the Mississippi River through a critical wastewater infrastructure project that can no longer be delayed. As part of the first community on the Mississippi River, Northern Township bears a unique responsibility for water quality that impacts our entire state and beyond. This project represents both a local necessity and a statewide priority. We've already secured $6 million in federal funding and committed $1 million from our own township. This state investment of $14 million would complete our funding needs and ensure the project's success. Why act now? Well, here are three compelling reasons. First, in 2026, Beltrami County will renovate County Road 20 along the north end of Lake Bemidji, right along our project. And by coordinating our wastewater installation with this planned roadwork, we'll save taxpayers millions in construction costs and prevent disruptive, redundant construction. Second, we face a critical infrastructure timeline. Over 65% of residential systems in the area are more than 25 years old and approaching failure. In addition, several major facilities, including Lake Bemidji State Park, the DNR headquarters, and the Rutgers Birchmont Lodge Resort all have end-of-life systems and require immediate replacement. Third, this investment protects Lake Bemidji from trending toward impaired status. This iconic lake, which attracts hundreds of thousands of visitors annually, is a natural and economic resource of immense value to our region. The economic impact of an impaired lake status would be devastating to our state and our local community. This comprehensive solution will cover the entire Northern Township shoreline of Lake Bemidji with a wastewater treatment system protecting both the lake's ecosystem and the Mississippi River downstream. The environmental benefits will extend well beyond our township's borders. This project turns a vision dating back to the 1960s into reality. With your support, we'll safeguard Minnesota's waters for future generations, demonstrate fiscal responsibility through smart infrastructure coordination, and preserve one of our state's natural resources. Thank you for considering this investment in Minnesota's environmental and economic future, and I welcome any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Lane. Lead Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Administrator. So just going through the handout that you have for us in our packet, the total that you have is $20 million. And if I hear from your remarks, there's $6 million from the feds, $1 million from the township. And so with the request, there'll be $14 million, or would that then be $13 million? Because in the bill and the handout, you said $14
million. Mr. Lane.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, and the $1 million that I included in what I just discussed here, that is part of what we've already spent towards the project. So the $14 million represents the outstanding balance left that we have to get to.
Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so, you know, we typically do about half of a project. And so will your community be able to do a little bit more than just the $1 million that you have put in so far?
Mr. Lane.
Yep, thank you, Madam Chair. And absolutely, and one thing I would like to highlight that I think is a strength of this project is it's actually like going to be constructed in multi-phases. So we have phase one going in 2026, phase two going in 2027. So we are prepared through local assessments and whatever to cover what we need to get phase one off the ground. But having money for phase two is going to be essential to even see phase two happen. And of course, if we can get more for phase one to bring costs down, that'd be fantastic too.
Okay. Any further member questions? Representative Ryer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just piggybacking on that. So is the $14 million, is that for phase two or is that parts of one, of all phases? I just came to wonder after your response to Lead Lee. Thanks.
Mr. Lane.
Yep, thank you, Madam Chair. And so the $14 million represents the balance due for the entire project, both phases combined.
Representative Ryer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So if you were to phase it, what would the balance that you would need for the next phase be if we could only do a portion?
Mr. Lane.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So phase two, we have been estimating about $7 million to be the bare minimum that we need to get that off the ground. Phase two will not happen if we can't find that amount of money.
Okay. Thank you. All right, members. Thank you. Quick closing question or comments, Representative Duran?
Nope. Thank you very much for your time and consideration. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for coming down to the capital investment today. We appreciate you. All right, next up, Representative Hudson. Representative Hudson has House File 1451 for the City of Albertville. Representative Hudson, please state your name for the record. You may proceed.
Representative Walter Hudson, presenting House File 1541, that would appropriate bond proceeds in the amount of $10 million in order to fund improvements to a regional water system serving the communities of Albertville, Hanover, and St. Michael. I will let my testifiers give you the details.
All right. Please state your name for the record. You may proceed.
Adam Nafstad, City Administrator, Albertville. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, committee members. I want to note today with me I have representation from Hanover, St. Michael, and Albertville. Also to our right is our Joint Powers Water Manager, John Seifert. The Joint Powers Water Board is the water utility for Hanover, St. Michael, and Albertville, and is governed by elected officials from each city. In the mid-70s, the three cities joined forces through an economic development partnership to supply water to the growing community. Since its inception, the Joint Powers Water Board has invested millions in dozens of projects to provide clean and safe drinking water to the three cities, all the while staying ahead of the demand of the area's rapid growth. Today, the Joint Powers continues to efficiently provide treated water to the communities, but is challenged by emerging contaminants that require additional treatment at a cost of approximately $21 million. Today, we are requesting the state's investment of $10 million towards this additional treatment. Madam Chair, if I may, I'd like to have John Seifert speak briefly to the need of the project.
Please state your name for the record. You may proceed.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is John Seifert, General Manager for Joint Powers Water. As mentioned, the water utility serves as the primary wholesale water treatment and distribution of treated municipal drinking water to the three communities. This morning, and we're looking for this assistance with the water treatment plant delivery project. You can see the success of the Joint Powers Water, you know, three communities working together almost 50 years in the making, has delivered the necessary infrastructure to produce the volume of water necessary, store the water, and then ultimately stitch together 10 miles of water main to have three cities benefit from co-sharing of infrastructure. The challenges identified in the handout represents the high challenge we have in we're overcoming the capacity issue with our current system and the need to address high levels of manganese and radium in our source water. Currently, Joint Powers is served by seven supply wells. All seven wells have high manganese level and several have higher radium levels. Currently, those levels have been measured as part of the reporting requirement to the EPA and the Minnesota Department of Health to average 900 micrograms, the highest being 1,500 micrograms, which the safe level for consumption for our customers is 100 for infants and 300 for the rest of the general public. The current standard makes it necessary for us to expand the plant with a high level of treatment, and at this time we're looking at the delivery in anticipation of this project. The board has invested in preliminary engineering, additional acquisition of land necessary, so the project, barring the final funding package, is ready to move on to the next step and is critical infrastructure for the communities. With that, we appreciate your consideration for all of the efforts in moving this important infrastructure project forward for the three communities, and would stand for any questions.
Thank you so much for testifying there, Mr. Seifert,
correct?
Seifert, it is Seifert?
Yes.
Okay.
Depends on the day.
Okay. I was going after you. I was copying you. All right, who is up for it? Representative Scraba, you did not disappoint me.
Thank you, Madam Chair. When you said you have an elected board, are they elected to the Joint Powers Water Board, or are they elected officials as a board?
Madam Chair, they are elected city council members appointed to the board.
Thank you, Mr. Nefstad, correct? All right. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm just wondering, is there like a tomato processing facility at St. Michael that would be hooked into this, or is that a different area?
Who would like to take that? Mr. Nefstad?
Madam Chair, I will direct that question to either of these gentlemen. I don't know the
answer. Mr. Seifert?
Yep. Madam Chair, the largest employer in the area is Joint Powers, J&B Meats. Okay. So that would be a meat processing and packaging facility.
Okay. Any further? Liebley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the presentation. I think what Chair Hansen is asking, I remember maybe two cycles ago we were touring a water treatment facility in St. Michael's. We were wondering if this is the same treatment facility that had tomatoes growing out of the bays that, you know, was being treated. Or it might be a different one. I don't know.
Mr. Nefstad?
Madam Chair, I believe you were touring a wastewater treatment plant.
Okay. Any further member questions, comments? Representative Hudson, final words.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Our communities are very close-knit, and it's this cooperation in order to provide these essential services that affects that. In northeastern Wright County, we like to drink water and appreciate your support in being able to continue to do so.
Fantastic. Thank you for making your way down to St. Paul today and testifying on behalf of your cities. We appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next up we're going to have Representative Rarick, and then we will have Representative Schwartz. Representative Rarick, please make your way to the testifying table with your testifiers if you have some with you. You may state your name for the record and proceed. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Franzen. Again, Representative Rarick, and I'm here on behalf of the City of Monticello, who I have on both sides of me. And this is House File 1748. Their request is for $10 million to assist in building a new water treatment plant in the City of Monticello. And they need to build the plant because they have magnesium concentrations that are higher than the registered recommended amounts from the Department of Health. Without the requested state assistance, it's estimated that the water rates would rise 60 to 65%, which is very burdensome because Monticello has a large proportion of low-income residents compared to their peers in the region. So with that, I'll turn it over to my testifier to my right.
Ms. Leonard, you may state your name for the record and proceed.
Madam Chair, members, my name is Rachel Leonard. I'm the city administrator for the city of Monticello. I'm joined today by our city engineer and public works director, Matt Leonard, who will be available for questions. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of House File 1748, and also thank you to Representative Rarick for her support for our request. The city of Monticello is seeking funding support for the construction of a water treatment plant and associated utility infrastructure. Our community is currently served by 5 deep water wells. The water is fed directly into the distribution system without additional treatment. Ongoing water testing indicates water from each of these wells exceeds the recommended level of manganese. While our public water supply continues to meet all state and federal regulations, manganese is monitored as an unregulated contaminant because of emerging research showing its risk to the public. The Minnesota Department of Health established maximum recommended concentrations of manganese in drinking water after studies showed that children and adults can experience problems with memory, motor skills, and attention due to extended exposure to high concentrations of manganese. These impacts are also acute in infants and may result in long-term learning and behavioral issues. All of Monticello's wells exceed these concentration levels, and the Minnesota Department of Health has issued a health risk advisory for our community. Monticello recognizes that providing safe municipal drinking water is one of our most fundamental responsibilities to the public. Given these risks of long-term exposure to manganese, the City Council identified the construction of a water treatment plant as their top priority. The new facility will allow water to be treated in one centralized location before it is distributed to the public. Without the new plant, residents bear the responsibility of treating the water for manganese once it reaches their homes. This creates an inequitable system because not all residents have the same ability to treat their water, either due to the cost to implement and operate such systems or because they live in rental properties without access to individualized treatment. Monticello completed a feasibility study in 2022 that recommended a plant to remove the manganese from the water, which had an estimated cost of $28 million. However, our most recent estimate at the 30% design milestone illustrates a rapid cost increase to an escalation of approximately $45 million without substantial changes to the proposed plant. The city received an allocation of $11 million in the 2023 capital investment bill. We continue to be incredibly grateful for that vital funding support. We also fully intend to invest our own current local funds into construction of the plant, but the extraordinary cost increase is impeding our ability to construct this critical facility. Monticello's population is just under 15,000 people. We have just over 5,000 households, and it is not feasible for our ratepayers to absorb the remaining costs to construct. An additional allocation from the state of Minnesota will ensure construction is completed with feasible, though still significant, local rate increases. And again, thank you, Madam Chair and members, for considering our request.
Thank you, Ms. Leonard. Mr. Leonard, did you want to add?
No. Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to thank everyone for hearing our bill and the support of our project in the 2023 funding package.
Thank you. Members, do we have questions, comments? Leadley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So can you talk a little bit about the 2023 appropriations was $11 million. And so this, on your handout, it says, you know, state of Minnesota 11, local funds 29. And so are you asking for an additional $11 million according to the bill in front of us, 10.
Ms. Leonard.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, we have requested an additional 10 to get us closer to that 50% range where we would then still be using local funds for the remainder of the construction, which would then be built into the rate increases for our utility payers.
Leadley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so can you just tell us from 2023 until now, how much did it increase in cost? That's why you're asking for assistance again?
Ms. Leonard.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, that is correct. We have already begun to do some significant rate increases in order to prepare, but given the significant escalation in cost over time, there have been no changes to our plant. It's the same size. It's just that the materials and the construction costs have escalated to the point where we needed to request an additional allocation.
It's the burden we bear by not having bonding bills. Representative Rarick, closing words.
Thank you. So I think the question was, how much is the total project now? And it's $45 million. And with that, I really look forward to your support.
Thank you. Thank you for making your way down to the Capitol today and advocating for your city. Thank you, Representative Rarick. Next up, we're going to have Representative Schwartz, followed by Representative Bakeberg. Please make your way to the testifying table. And Representative Bakeberg, looks like you got the memo. Thank you. Representative Schwartz also brought some delicious treats. We will make sure that those get around. Thank you for indulging the committee with some goodness. All right, you may proceed.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Madam Chair. I am honored to bring forward this important legislation which directly impacts the health and well-being of residents of Lafayette.
Ms. Schwartz, Representative Schwartz, if you could just, thank you.
Okay. House File 448 seeks to ensure access to safe, clean drinking water by funding much-needed improvements by the city of the water treatment plant. The city of Lafayette is facing serious challenges with high chlorine levels in the wastewater and risk of additional violations related to the drinking water, disinfection, and byproducts. This bill provides $1.893 million in state bonding funds to construct and equip a reverse osmosis system at the existing treatment plant, an essential investment in both public health and environment stewardship. Clean water isn't a luxury, it's a necessity, and small communities like Lafayette shouldn't have to bear the financial burden of these critical infrastructure upgrades alone. With your support, we can ensure that families, businesses, and future generations in Lafayette have access to safe and reliable water. I appreciate your time and consideration. I look forward to working together to move in this bill. I will hand it over to the left. Kurt, go ahead.
All right, please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Kurt Talber, Mayor of the City of Lafayette. We're here today requesting to be a part of the bonding bill. We have chloride levels in excess of the MPCA guidelines, which are in turn affecting the wild rice beds down in the Mississippi River Valley. In 22, we have a notice of a violation. I'm not even going to try to pronounce the name of that. In our drinking water. So this initially turned from a chloride issue in our water, which is caused by water softeners, the discharge of water softeners, the salt in our wastewater, to a drinking water issue. So we are here seeking $1,893,000 as part of the state bonding request. We've already received a $1 million grant from the EPA. Our population is 504 residents. We don't have the funds to be able to provide safe and affordable drinking water to our residents. I'm going to ask that any questions be referred to our city superintendent, Alan Fox.
Mr. Fox, please state your name for the record. You may proceed.
Madam Chair, my name is Alan Fox. I'm the utility and maintenance superintendent for the city of Lafayette. I would like to go ahead with Mayor Talber's comments. Also, reiterate that, yes, we did receive $1 million in congressional direct spending, which was sponsored by Amy Klobuchar and Tina Smith. Also, yesterday I just received our January sample results for disinfection byproducts. They're extremely high again. Elevated. We did not trigger a notice of violation, but we have an operational evaluation request that we have to complete and turn into the health department also. So it's becoming more and more of a drinking water issue than what the original project was looking at. Just so you know, again, 504 people in the city of Lafayette, we don't take this request very lightly. In the past, we've able to fund our own operations. In 2018, we had to replace our water tower riser for $54,000. 2019, we had an ammonia conversion done at our water facility to get rid of all the ammonia that was in our water for the cost of $80,000. And we had to replace one of our wells at a cost of $125,000 in the city. This small was able to do that all on a cash basis throughout the years. So we do try and be financially responsibility for our citizens and for our city, but this is above and beyond our control.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fox. Members, do we have any questions? Okay, Representative Schwartz, final thoughts?
Yep, this bill represents more than just an infrastructure project. Lafayette is doing their part to address these water quality issues, but they need our help. This funding will not only improve their water treatment system, but also prevent future violation and ensure long-term sustainability for the community. I urge my colleagues to support this investment in the water infrastructure, and I appreciate your thoughtful considerateness. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Representative Schwartz, and also thank you for the snacks this morning. Thank you for making your way down to the Capitol and advocating for your city. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right, Representative Bakeberg, you are up with House File 1536 for the City of Jordan. Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. My name is Ben Bakeberg. I have the privilege to represent the communities of Prior Lake, Shakopee, and Jordan. Today I'm here, too, and I have some help to talk about House File 1536 for wastewater treatment improvement in the City of Jordan. We've got City Administrator Tom Nikkanen and new mayor, Travis Fremming, and I'm going to turn it over to them to talk about the needs for the community.
Great. Please state your name for the record, whomever wants to go first, and you sure may proceed.
Travis Fremming, Mayor of Jordan. Today I'm here to seek your partnership in supporting a critical infrastructure project, the necessary improvements of the Jordan Wastewater Treatment Facility. The City of Jordan faces increasing challenges in maintaining compliance with the environmental protection standards handed down by the state of Minnesota. These standards are crucial to safeguarding our natural resources, but the financial burden associated with meeting these requirements is significant. The Jordan Wastewater Treatment Facility was built 24 years ago and plays a pivotal role in protecting our quality of our waterways, yet is not undergone significant upgrades to address our aging infrastructure or evolving environmental regulations. We are seeking $6.25 million in state funding to address these pressing infrastructure needs. The proposed project consists of three vital components. First, we must replace the influent lift station in the facility. The lift station is essential for pumping water from our community's gravity station collection system to the treatment portion of the facility where it's processed before being discharged into the environment. The discharge is today Sand Creek, but we found through a facility planning effort and evaluated our current upcoming state and EPA discharge requirements that will be necessary in the future to relocate the discharge to the Minnesota River to meet the state chloride and phosphorus discharge limits. Rather than simply replace pumps for a short-term patch, ignoring the long-term needs to relocate the discharge, the city is seeking funding to construct a lift station such that it meets today's needs, but also size and designated for flexibility to meet our future needs. The lift station predates the wastewater treatment facility itself, and the station's internal mechanical components have exceeded their service lives. While we could replace the internal pumps, related mechanical pumps alone doing so would only provide a temporary solution. By replacing installed ensure compliance with current and future state requirements when the facility discharge is relocated within the next 10 years. In the interim, the upgrade will allow us to redirect flows to our equalization basins, thereby preventing overflows and ultimately protecting the integrity of our waterways. Second, we need to construct a new, larger, final clarifier. The current clarifier is insufficient during peak flow times, resulting in the risk of overflows. A new 60-foot clarifier will allow the facility to handle higher flows, meet the state regulatory requirements, and ensure consistent with the effective treatment under all conditions. Finally, we need to rehabilitate the pretreatment infrastructure at the facility. Pretreatment facilities are inherently corrosive environments, and over time, our equipment has deteriorated. The grit classifier is corroding. The doors throughout the building have deteriorated as well. Our funding request for this project totals $6.25 million, allocated as follows: $1 million for the influent lift station, $4 million for the final clarifier, and $1.25 million for the pretreatment building, piping, and pump rehabilitation. These upgrades are necessary to addressing aging equipment, prevent untreated discharges, and ensure the wastewater treatment facility remains compliant with state and federal requirements. This is a critical opportunity to ensure that the City of Jordan can continue to fulfill its role in protecting Minnesota waterways and meet the environmental goals we all share. On behalf of our community, we look forward to your support for this request. The partnership and the state funding this project will not only address immediate infrastructure needs, but also reinforce our collective commitment to protecting and preserving our natural resources. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Great, thank you. Representative, did you want to go next? I thought I heard Mr. Nicotine, but I don't think that was correct.
Madam Chair, the mayor handled it very well. It's Mr. Nicotine.
Nicotine, okay. Close, but no cigar.
Bada boom. Here all week.
You may proceed. State your name for the record and proceed.
Tom Nicotine, city administrator for the city of Jordan. I have nothing more to add. I'm here for any questions, though, to help the mayor.
All right, thank you. Representative Carroll.
Great, I'll provide a question. Thank you, Chair. I'm concerned about the useful life of this equipment. It seems like 20, 24 years, whatever, is short. Is that expected or something the matter with it, or can you explain that?
Mr. Nicotine, is that correct, Nicotine?
Yeah, Nicotine. Madam Chair, thank you. Yes, the equipment does have a useful life in the 24 years. The pump system is older than that. The other system, all three of these items are essential for flooding issues. They allow us to pump extra usage out into the ponds so they can pull it back later and treat them. If you've seen Jordan in the news, we've had significant flooding in the past 10 years, and this all three of these help with treating those significant higher volumes.
Representative Carroll.
Thank you, Chair. Is this the expected useful life of this equipment? I don't think I heard an answer to that.
Mr. Nicotine.
Madam Chair, yes. This is the useful life of these items. 24 years.
Representative Ryer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I see, and you mentioned that there were the three aspects of it. If needed, does that allow you to phase the project? And if so, are these in order of priority for you? Thank you.
Mr. Nicotine.
Madam Chair, thank you. Yes, all three of them are essential for us. If we don't yet have all the money, we're going to have to find other financing to do all of them in the near future. But we would have to choose between them, which is the most important.
Ms. Ryer, or Representative Ryer. Okay. All right, thank you. Any further member questions? Okay, closing comments, Representative Bakeberg.
Thank you, members. Would just appreciate your support for this critical infrastructure project in Jordan. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for making your way down. And thank you for sharing a laugh with us, Mr. Nicotine. All right. Next up, we have Representative McDonald, followed by Representative Weiner. And then we're going to have Representative Gander. Representative Gander, if you want to make your way back with your testifiers. Representative McDonald, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed with your testimony for the City of South Haven, House File 674.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. Members, thank you for hearing this bill. This bill appropriates $3.5 million for the improvement of water and sewer infrastructure and street reconstruction for the City of South Haven, one of my furthest western town in Wright County. And just an example, this isn't a treat, but Representative Schwartz, thanks for the meat. I did sneak a bite out of that. This is the water that South Haven's supposed to drink. And if you can see that, I wouldn't drink it. But that is why we're here today, and my testifier is Ms. Stinson, Melissa Stinson from the City of South Haven. So I'll turn it over to her, Madam Chair.
Ms. Stinson, you may state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the committee. My name is Melissa Stinson. I'm the clerk of the City of South Haven.
Ms. Stinson, if you just want to speak, move the microphone just a little closer. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity for speaking today about the urgent infrastructure and challenges of our community, for our bonding quest and support. South Haven's water and sewer systems are in critical condition. Our existing water distribution system was compromised by bacterial slime and mold growth, posing a significant public health risk. The city's water tower had lead-based paint issues and structural deficiencies and failing sanitary. In addition, inadequate stormwater infrastructure has resulted in repeating flooding, damaging, and properties and roadways. To begin addressing these urgent issues, the city initiated phase one and phase two of the utility work in the fall of 22, totaling $11 million. These phases include a new well house, water tower, and necessary water main replacements to ensure safe drinking water. However, our work is far from being done. Phase three of the city's final stage, which requires $4.1 million in funding. It is essential to ensure a safe, reliable utility system for our residents. This phase includes the installation of new drinking water treatment filters, improvements to stormwater outlets to prevent flooding, lift station road access, and access to the road to prevent failures during the heavy rains. I would like to draw your attention to the project briefing sheet that has been provided along with the jar of our water. Would you like to bathe your children in this water? Would you like to cook it with this water? This investment is not just an infrastructure issue. It is a financial burden on our residents. Over 51% of the South Haven households are low to moderate income, with 15.5% living below the poverty line. Without bonding support, utility costs will rise by an estimated $190 per year per household, placing unsustainable financial strain on our community. We urge this community to invest in the South Haven's future of our final phase of our infrastructure needs. Your support will not only improve our public health safety, but also relieve a community that cannot bear this burden alone. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Stenson. Members, do we have questions, comments? Okay, Representative McDonald, final closing thoughts.
Madam Chair, members, I know you have a tough task at hand. There's limited amounts of money and many, many projects. This is exactly one of many projects that is necessary around the state. As you see, the water is filthy, and this is why we can help small towns in Minnesota, and South Haven's being one of those. I just give you the opportunity and thank you for seeing this bill and appreciate your consideration. Madam Chair and members, and your comment about close but no cigar, one of the best I've heard in 14 years. Let's just hope it's not my bill.
All right. Thank you, Representative McDonald, and thank you for making your way down to the Capitol today, Ms. Stenson, to advocate for
your
city.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair and committee.
You're welcome. All right. Representative Weiner, and then we have Representative Gander, followed by Representative Dotseth. Mr. Representative Dotseth, if you want to make your way behind the testifying table with your testifiers. Representative Weiner, please state your name for the record, and you may proceed with the city that I used to represent, West Union.
That's right. Thank you, Madam Chair and committee. For the record, my name is Mike Weiner. I represent 5B, and that pronunciation is correct. It is Weiner, so there's no confusion.
I have so many jokes.
If we could refrain till after the committee, that would be great. So the proposal here, House File 811, is a pretty straightforward ask from the state. West Union is a small town in the southwest corner of Todd County, which is one of the poorest counties in the state. The ask is to support for the design, engineer, construction, and equipment of new wastewater municipal infrastructure system and reconstruction of the city's roads. West Union is nestled between I-94 and the Lake Wobegon Trail. There's a lot of visitors to our area that enjoy the scenic views, the trail, biking, snowmobiling, so forth. And without those small communities there, it really leaves no place for people to visit. So we need to support those communities. And like I said, Todd County is one of the poorest counties in the state and really needs some support for this project. And with that, I will turn it over to my testifier.
Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Madam Chair, my name is Jim Bottleberg, and I am a council member for the city of West Union, Minnesota. Thank you for the opportunity. opportunity to testify today. I am here on behalf of the city of West Union to express the critical need for the state investment in our wastewater infrastructure. Unlike most cities in Minnesota, West Union does not have a publicly owned wastewater collection and treatment system. This poses an imminent threat to the public health, safety, and environment. Recent findings show that 38 privately owned septic systems in our community were insufficient to 24 have been deemed as immediate threat to the public health and safety, 5 are failing to protect groundwater, and 6 cannot be replaced due to property setback regulations. Without a functioning wastewater system, our residents and businesses are at continued risk of contamination, environmental degradation, and declining quality of life. This is not a challenge we can afford to ignore. To address this crisis, the City of West Union has planned a comprehensive citywide wastewater project, including the construction of a wastewater collection system, lift station, force main, and a treatment system. This will include new sanitary sewer mains, manholes, cleanouts, force mains, and grinder stations, providing a safe, reliable, and modern system to meet the needs of our residents. However, funding remains a significant obstacle. Over a quarter of West Union residents live in poverty, and the city has only a 4% net tax capacity, leaving us unable to finance this project alone. We have secured substantial funding, but we need $1.9 million in Minnesota legislative bonding to complete this project. This investment will improve the health, safety, and environmentally sustainability of the community while providing long-term economic stability for our residents and businesses. Without this funding, our community will continue to face serious public health risks with no viable alternative. We respectfully ask for your support in providing the $1.9 million necessary to complete this project. Thank you for your time and consideration. I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Bottleberg. Yep. Correct? All right. Members, do we have any questions? No? Okay. Well, Representative Weiner, final thoughts?
Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee. Appreciate your consideration on this bill.
Thank you. Thank you for making your way down here from West Union, Mr. Bottleberg. Maybe I'll see you at Sidewalk sometime for dinner, huh?
Sounds good. Thank you,
all
Madam
right.
Chair.
Oh, Representative Scraba?
I wasn't going to say anything, but I have to say it.
Oh, gee.
For 92 people, you guys are supplying $1.8 million. That's pretty impressive. Sorry, I just have to bring that up. That's really high. Thank you.
It's not much that gets him excited, members. All right. Thank you. All right. Next up, Representative Gander. Representative Gander has House File 1670 for Red Lake Falls. Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Representative Steve Gander from House 1B. Today I'm pleased to present House File 1670. It's a bill to help fund critical infrastructure for the city of Red Lake Falls, Minnesota. The bill provides $5.947 million that are needed for utility infrastructure and streets. By the way, the total project cost is over $12 million, so this would fall well under that 50%. Red Lake Falls is a unique community. Almost one-fourth of the residents are 65 years of age or older and on a very fixed income. The median household income there is $63,929, where the state median income is $87,556. So in other words, a $23,000 difference. Because Red Lake Falls has older housing and lower incomes, it is extremely important to have a bonding bill that includes some support for this community. I have a handout in members' packets that outlines the high cost the city taxpayers face, showing higher than average property taxes. The city is frugal and responsible, but because of demographics, age of infrastructure, and a limited tax base, having to pay all the costs of this project locally would place an inordinate burden on local residents. So the need for rehabilitation of the aging water main, sanitary sewer, and storm sewer is urgent. Up until 2019, nearly all of the existing underground distribution and collection lines were constructed of materials that were failing or have exceeded useful life. This project is potentially scalable and could be phased so that funding can be allocated this year. Any funding that could be allocated this year would be greatly appreciated. Keep in mind that the city recently spent over $1 million on rehabilitation of its water tower. The water tower project had to move forward, and the city made the decision to get that done ahead of time. So I have with me today via Zoom Alan Bertelrood, the mayor of Red Lake Falls, to give additional testimony. And I have Marty Seifert from Flaherty and Hood with me if there are any questions that he could assist with upon conclusion. Thank you, Madam Chair. And if I could call upon by Zoom, Mayor Bertelrood.
Thank you. And please state your name for the record, Mayor, and you may proceed.
Good morning, Madam Chairman. Alan Bertelrood, Mayor of Red Lake Falls. I have been in this community for almost 50 years and have been mayor for the last 8 years. We have an extremely high tax in our community, and our water rates are right now at about $108 per household. We have been increasing our water and sewer rates by 3% per year, trying to keep up with inflation. However, with the last couple of years of high inflation rates, it's put a lot of these projects out of our reach to be able to do as a community. We do have some indebtedness going out over the next couple of years, so these projects should be phased out accordingly. My house, for example, value of about $207,000 and has a tax rate of almost $6,300. In addition to that, my water rate is about $100 per month. We are a relatively older community. Much of our infrastructure is in excess of 70 years old, and we are asking you for help. We will be providing funding ourselves, plus working with the federal government and some of the financing, but we are at the peak of what we can afford as a community. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Representative Gander, did you want Mr. Seifert to add to anything?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Seifert, do you have anything to add?
Please state your name for the record.
Thank you. Madam Chair, Marty Seifert of Flaherty and Hood. I'm helping Red Lake Falls. Just thank the members. It's been a long time since I've been a member here myself, and thanks for doing the Lord's work and the devil's workshop here. you had an important task before. I wish the whole legislature could sit here and listen to what all of you are listening to, because I think a bonding bill would probably pass unanimously if they knew the needs. Representative Lilly, you're the only person left that served with me sitting in the room. So what I lost in here, in the meantime, you made up for me.
I thought I was the only one that had jokes today. Members, do we have any questions, comments? Okay, thank you for testifying today, Mayor Bertelrood and Mr. Seifert. Representative Gander, do you have final thoughts for this bill?
Madam Chair, thank you very much, and members. Thank you for keeping Red Lake Falls and their infrastructure need in the top of your mind, and that's House File 1670. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Representative Gander, you now have House File 1438 for West Central Regional Water System. You may state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Steve Gander, House Representatives 1B. I'd like to move House File 1438.
Oh, we're not moving anything. It's just informational only. Thank you.
I would like
continue.
To present.
Just speak. Yep.
Yes. Thank you so much for that clarification, Madam Chair. House File 1438 would provide $9.7 million in funding to study, design, and construct a drinking water pipeline to serve the cities and surrounding areas of Climax, Neillsville, Beltrami, Halstead, Hendrum, Purley, Borup, Georgetown, and Felton. These rural communities are dealing with high levels of arsenic and other contaminants in their local and regional wells, creating a detriment to public health. In addition, the redundancy of having each community perform drinking water treatment creates expensive inefficiency. Along with clean drinking water for this region, they are examining the possibility of having fire hydrants placed at specific intervals in the system, improving their fire safety rating. So at this time, I would like to call upon Lucas Spaeth, the chair of the West Central Regional Water District, to provide testimony for this bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Spaeth, please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Lucas Spaeth. I am the board chair of the West Central Regional Water District. Thank you, Representative Gander, for bringing me here today. As Representative Gander spoke to, this is truly a regional significant project. We are talking about water quality issues, as you can see in the handout, in a representative sample of rural wells in Norman County, 43% of them are above the max contaminant levels. And in Clay County, 39%, Polk County, 21%. This is three counties that have already put up a budgeted amount of dollars to plan for this project, to build this project, recognizing the need from each of these small communities. And we're talking about small communities that would be here today to tell you that they need $2, $3 million to put a water plant in. And we're figuring that out with them, for them, as a pipeline project to bring them clean water. The serious long-term effects of those contaminants in the rural area are also prevalent in rural customers, where they've never seen, they don't have the knowledge of, and this has been a breath of fresh air for the residents with limited knowledge and of what their resources could be at these rural areas and rural farms. Highlighted in your handout is the workforce. Right now, the city of Halstead, Minnesota, actually contracts with three different small communities to provide their water certification that they need for these plants. So to put new plants in them and come to you and ask for $1 million or $2 million for some small plants, there's another aspect to it, to the workforce. And we would be representing that very well to have the West Central District, take on those water needs if decided by those small communities. As I said, there's in the three counties, we recognize 30 cities and 40,000 people that could be served clean, fresh water. The alternatives that we've looked at would be those individual investments into capital improvements for water and wastewater. We, as working with those cities, come to the conclusion that regionalizing this and having this pipeline for into the future is very significant. Well, you might look at the $9.7 million as a high dollar amount. Imagine everyone coming here for $1 million or $2 million in that regard. So I would urge you to fund us fully, but it is a pipeline project. We potentially could build less pipe and go not as far. The city of Felton is in more of an emergent need, and that would be the end of our line in this project. So I urge you to look deep in your pockets.
Well, wish we had deep pockets this year. All right. Representative Ryer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just thank you for your testimony and for bringing the bill. I just want to say how much I appreciate regional projects when we're not building many, many, and we're looking more broadly. So thank you for that.
Representative Scrubba. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I just cut you off? Okay. Representative Scrubba.
I, Madam Chair, I echo Representative Ryers. And I also noticed by climax, you guys are going into North Dakota with it also, crossing the river.
Mr. Spaeth.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Climax is actually being served by a rural water district that's already formed out of North Dakota. So they're actually served out of North Dakota right now, receiving their water.
All right, thank you. We are out of time. Representative Lead Lee, if you want to quick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so we may have discussed this a little bit last year or before. Yeah. Did you guys run the language by MMB to make sure that it's okay? I know that in the language you have funding to either one county, two counties, or all three counties. And so I just want to make sure that whatever amount we put in the language will work with MMB. That's all, Madam Chair.
Mr. Spaeth?
We did rewrite it. The original request was actually from the city of Halstead, and then we rewrote it for West Central. Being three counties, we were told to go with one of the counties out of the three for the application.
Okay, thank you. Representative Ganner, final thoughts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you all for taking the time to hear this utility infrastructure bill for water for a good part of the area. You will see even in the future that they could get water from the North Dakota side, and they could even reach out and get water to feed the system from different municipalities. So this is a scalable project that should be very good for the region. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And Mr. Spaeth, there's going to be a lot of disappointment, so just, not to trust me.
Thanks,
we
again.
Are feeling the pressures. Thank and you, also, yours was not the highest bill, so... It's been crazy this year. There's a lot of water needs, so I empathize with you.
All right, next up we have Representative Dotseth. Please make your way to the testifying table, and then we're going to have Representative Olson if you want to make your way back with your testifiers, followed by Representative Kreisha. You will be after if you want to get yourself ready. Representative Dotseth, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Welcome, Madam Chair, Representative Jeff Dotseth. I'd like to thank Madam Chair, Lead Fu Lee, and members here today. Today in front of me, I have with me Jeff Bloom, Mayor of Renshaw, as well as Susan Zimsloney, close enough, from Carlton County Commissioner's Office to testify on behalf of this water infrastructure bill. Thank you. I'll turn it over to them for time's sake.
All right. Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jeff Bloom. I serve as the mayor of the city of Renshaw. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. I am here on the behalf of the city of Renshaw to request state investment in critical water utilities and street improvements along Pioneer Drive. Pioneer Drive serves as the main entrance to our school district, making it one of the most traveled corridors in the city. The infrastructure along this corridor is failing. The sanitary sewer system is aging, showing misaligned joints and ongoing infiltration issues. The city is forced to jet frequently to prevent clogs, which is both costly and a persistent health risk for pedestrians, residents, and students in this area. Additionally, the pavement and the sidewalks along Pioneer Drive are in poor condition and do not meet current ADA standards, making accessibility a challenge for many in our community. The project also includes extending water main service to Pioneer Drive, installing fire suppression utilities on the south side of the school, adding water meters to unserved homes. Renshaw is a small city of just 428 people, with 35.2% of the households considered low to moderate income. Without bonding support, the cost of this necessary infrastructure work will fall on our residents, increasing the average utility bills from $107 to $195 per month. Unsustainable burden for many in our community. This project is ready to begin as soon as funding is secured. It will not only improve public health and safety, but also ensure that our school district and emergency services have the infrastructure they need to serve the residents efficiently. It's a $3 million project total. We're looking for 1.5. I think personally it's a very, very, very necessary thing for a small town like us, because I don't see us affording this project without some help. So moving forward, we respectfully ask your support in funding this essential project. Thank you for your time and consideration. I am happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Bloom. Please state your name for the record and proceed. Ms. Zimsloney?
Yes. Good morning, Madam Chair and members. My name is Susan Zimsloney, and I'm Carlton County Commissioner, and I thank you for allowing me to come here to speak to you today on behalf of the Renshaw community. As a county commissioner, it was my duty to come to you in St. Paul to share my support and the support of my fellow commissioners for this critical project. I think that this project will have a significant impact on the Renshaw community, but it also has an impact on the school district. The Renshaw School District is a dynamic small school. It is the hub of the community. Yet, like most small-town districts, it has been struggling, and they've been working really hard in consolidating with a neighboring district, and that is appears to be happening in the very near future. And so it's important to have this sufficient infrastructure in place to best meet the needs of public safety and health needs for the community, especially on Pioneer Drive, which is the main entrance of the school. I also want to say taxes as high as they are in our community, this project will promote growth, such as housing, jobs, and tourism that'll help alleviate the tax burden. So thank you. I appreciate your taking time to listen to us.
Thank you. Quickly, member questions? All right. Final question or final comments, Representative Dotseff.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Lee and the members, again, this is a much-needed project in rural Minnesota, greater Minnesota. I thank you for your consideration. One final note. Carleton County has been of record of actually being one of the highest taxed communities in the state, so any assistance at all would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for making your way down. I'm so sorry that we can only do 5 minutes, but yeah, a lot of bills up.
Thank you.
Representative Dotseff, House File 1661 for Thompson. Do you have testifier? Okay. Hi.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Again, I've got another infrastructure sewer bill that I'd like to present in front of you today. For time's sake, I will turn it over to Nathan Barta. He is actually at Thompson Township, but town board supervisor. Thank you.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. My name is Nathan Barta. I'm a member of the Thompson Township Board of Supervisors. We are a growing community. We're a very large township. We're one of the top 10 largest townships in the state by population. We're rapidly approaching 6,000 residents. And we are in dire need of critical utility extensions in our community. We are respectfully requesting $3.5 million in state bonding to help fund essential sewer and water infrastructure improvements in our township. Thompson Township has historically grown where utilities have been available, but areas without access have faced significant hardships, and two of those specific areas are Randall Avenue and Birch Drive. They were originally developed with sewer utilities nearby, but not directly connected to all the properties. Over time, the residents have had no choice but to interconnect private sewer lines, which has created a situation where one system's failure could impact multiple homes, creating a logistical and safety issue. The township has since prohibited interconnected services and restricted property sales under these conditions, so the only real solution is to extend the sewer mains to ensure compliance with safety and health standards. Without this investment, we risk failing systems and increasing financial burden on our residents. Additionally, the area in our community south of the I-35 interchange remains without municipal utilities, leaving businesses and residents reliant on private wells and septic systems. And this has been an area that we have seen some commercial development and would like to see more. This lack of infrastructure in this area has limited economic development, has increased costs, and created public health and safety concerns in this area. Extending the water mains, including fire suppression lines, will provide much-needed support to businesses and ensure adequate fire protection. Likewise, a new lift station will connect directly, allowing for future growth while improving services to the existing residents in this area. The total project cost is $7.1 million. However, due to a pending rural development loan, assessments and utility fees would exceed $140 per month per household, which is an unsustainable burden for many in our community. State bonding support is crucial to reducing this financial strain on our residents while ensuring necessary infrastructure improvements are able to go forward. Investing in these projects will provide long-term benefits for Thompson Township, allowing for responsible growth, improve public health and safety, and we ask for your support in securing this crucial funding to ensure our community can remain viable, sustainable, and ready for future economic and residential development. Thank you.
Thank you. Members, questions? Okay. Closing thoughts, Representative Dotseff.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, again, I thank you for your consideration on this bill and encourage you to spend some time up here in Carleton County as well as my district. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for making your way down to the Capitol. Appreciate it. Representative Olson for House File 1714 for Fairmont. You may state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Bjorn Olson, District 22A. Thank you, Committee. House File 1714 would provide the City of Fairmont with access to undeveloped and landlocked areas of their community, allowing them to address their housing needs and their crisis that they're currently having in southern Minnesota. This wouldn't be such an issue if the conversations that the city and I have had with the Minnesota Department of Transportation had gone differently. The access to this landlocked property is inefficient if we have to do what the Department of Transportation is saying we have to do with access on Highway 15. And so if you can't go through the Department of Transportation, you have to go around it by providing access through another route. With me today, I've got the mayor of Fairmont, Lee Bartz, and I've also got the Public Works Director, Mr. York.
All right. Whoever would like to proceed first, please state your name for the record. And we may
thank
go.
You. Mayor Lee Bartz, Fairmont. Good morning, everyone. Chair Franson, Lee Lee, and other members of the committee. My name is Lee Bartz. I am the mayor of Fairmont. Thank you, Representative Olson, for bringing this bill to the committee and working with over 10,000 residents of Fairmont. Thank you, Madam Chair and members, for taking the time to listen to our requests for the City of Fairmont to assist with infrastructure that will allow us to meet the housing and economic development needs of our growing region. As a regional center of our area, our city is relied upon for jobs, childcare, and housing. Our current infrastructure can't keep up with these demands within the region. The bill will immediately open up approximately 55 acres of multifamily, single-family housing. We know that our community is in need of more housing to support the region's growth. This influx of housing stock could help meet the demand and allow the city to continue working with businesses and bring them to the city. I will now turn it over to City's Director of Public Works and Utilities, Matthew York, to provide more details on this project. Thank you again for allowing us to testify in support of this wonderful project as we continue the effort to grow our community in our 150th anniversary of incorporation in 2028. Thank you.
Thank you, and I know Representative Olson has been talking about that celebration. He's very excited. I keep downgrading people to a representative. Mr. York, please state your name and you may proceed.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chairperson. Matthew York, Public Works and Utilities Director for the City of Fairmont. Good morning, Chair Franson, Lee Lee, and other members of the committee. I'd like to thank you for hearing this bill and also like to thank Representative Olson for his support of this project and his continuing support for the City of Fairmont. This bill comprises of two projects that will assist development in the two different sides of Fairmont. On the east side of town, the Charles Street and Cott Street project will provide access to the parcel of land that is landlocked due to access issues concerning Trunk Highway 15 that runs through Fairmont. It will assist in traffic flow issues as well as helping with the housing void, and that project is shovel ready from the developer. The Fair Lakes project will create a north-south access to the west side of Fairmont. This roadway will open up 75 acres of farmland that the city owns to residential and recreational development. This project will create valuable connection to Lake Avenue to the north and Woodland to the south, and would address housing, economic development, infrastructure, and traffic circulation needs for the city. Thank you again for allowing us to speak in front of you today. The City of Fairmont has a great future on the horizon, and your support of House Bill 1714 will assist in that journey.
I've got to remember to turn my volume or my speaker on. Thank you. Members, do we have? Yes, Lee Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the presentation. So in the bill language, you have the exemption for the local match. And so what is the local match from your community for this project? Thank you.
Mr. York.
I can take that, Madam Chair.
Okay, Representative Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the question, Lee Lee. The bill, I actually drafted this before we had any knowledge of what, you know, our finances were going to look like, and I wanted to provide everyone the biggest flexibility for these projects. So this is an incredibly scalable project, different projects at different parts, and the city is ready to just have those discussions.
Okay, great. All right. Representative Allen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just so I have some clarity on that, so this project is potentially phaseable, correct?
That is what I heard. Representative Olson, yes?
It absolutely is. Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Representative Olson, final
Thoughts?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you to the committee for hearing this. This is one of those times where you can actually do something to address the housing needs in southern Minnesota. This will immediately provide that alleviation. So we very much appreciate you having the time to consider it.
Thank you. Thank you for making your way to the Capitol today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Next up, we have Representative Carisha. Please make your way to the testifying table. And then we're going to have Representative Vang. Members, please, when you're on deck, just go behind the testifying table so you are ready to move on up when it's your turn so we don't have to waste precious seconds. Representative Carisha, you may state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Ron Carisha, District 10A, and I will turn it over to my testifier for presentation.
Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Dave Clough, Aiken Public Utilities Director. The City of Aiken and Public Utilities is requesting $5 million of a $10 million plus dollar project. This project will maintain sewer system through Aiken Wastewater Treatment Plant. This project will deliver and maintain affordable user rates. The project consists of replacing aging infrastructure to improve performance and restore redundancy necessary to remove wastewater through the treatment process effectively and efficiently, treating wastewater to meet all MPCA standards and permit requirements. This project is a critical part of the environmental protection for the Mississippi River and for the thousands who the river downstream of Aiken for recreational and drinking source. Aiken is committed to environmental stewardship and is requesting assistance from the state of Minnesota to help protect our natural resources. The project includes modifications to the influent lift station, replacing aging piping, addition of a secondary clarifier, and rehab the existing secondary clarifier, and update electrical components to meet current standards. This project is shovel-ready, design and the specifications have already been completed. This upgrade to the wastewater treatment plant is greatly benefit to our small community by increasing capacity for existing businesses, by also allowing our community to grow with new housing developments and new commercial businesses and industrial users. The City of Aiken and their community need your help to make this project move forward, as we greatly appreciate any help the state of Minnesota could provide us with. Thank you for your time and consideration for this upcoming bonding bill.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name for the record?
Morgan Salo, I'm a project manager with Bolton and Mink. Thank you for the opportunity today, Madam Chair and members, to speak with the City of Aiken for this critically needed project. As Dave Clough said, infrastructure is, improvements are dearly needed at the City of Aiken to protect the waters in the Mississippi River and also allow the community to grow and thrive. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Members, do we have questions? All right. It's not as fun when I don't have my frequent flyers like popping up wanting to, you know, excite the committee here. Representative Carisha, final.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so, members, just in closing, a couple of things about this project. Aiken is really the gateway to the north when you get to the lakes area. And as you can see, this project also impacts the Mississippi River watershed, which we go all the way from Itasca all the way down through Aiken, Brainerd, and all the many communities, all the way down to Red Wing, and then all the way, obviously, to the Gulf of Mexico. So we're not just doing a local project. We're trying to protect that watershed. The other thing that I would just add, Madam Chair and members, as you know, I don't just support this bonding project. I support bonding as a whole, and I've always looked at it that way. And so I would leave you with this, Madam Chair and Lee, help me help you pass a bonding bill.
Oh, that is music to our ears, and we will take you up on that offer. Thank you. All right. Thank you for making your way down to the Capitol today. We appreciate you testifying for the City of Aiken. Thank you, Representative Carisha. All right, Representative Vang, and then we're going to have Representative Ryer. I'm going to get it right someday. All right, you will be on deck next, followed by Representative Scraba. Ooh. Uh-huh. Clean up in aisle 9. That'll be that bill. Representative Vang, you may state your name for the record and proceed. Welcome to the Capital Investment Committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. I'm here today on behalf of House File 1942. A couple weeks ago, I was before you to discuss the city's request for the $4.5 million for a water main crossing to support this development. Today, we are seeking $12 million for a vital water tower that will connect with the water main crossing and support development and extend water access to a developing area. Water pressure in this area is currently on the threshold for not meeting the fire safety requirements for flow, and a large undeveloped area will require 2 million gallon water tower to increase water pressure and provide sufficient water reserves. This also aligns with our goal to build and develop the 250 acres of for the Biotech Innovation District. And Madam Chair, I'll defer the rest of the details to my mayor here, Mayor Hollis Whiston, and Mark Culver, City Engineer.
All right, please state your name for the record. You may proceed.
Chair Franzen and members, thank you. I am Hollis Winston, Mayor of the wonderful city of Brooklyn Park. I want to thank you for the opportunity to testify on behalf of House File 1942. And thank you to Representative Vang for authoring this bill for Brooklyn Park. Just very quickly, Brooklyn Park is located in the North Metro, is the fifth or sixth largest. I'm going to go with Mayor Math and say it's the fifth largest city in the state, with a population of over 86,000. And we have a very diverse population. That doesn't mean just ethnicity, but it also means economically. So we have some folks who are living in 600,000-700,000 homes, other folks who are on Section 8. So that creates some tax-based disparities that exist within our city. We can't necessarily look to LGA because that formula doesn't really do much for our city, even though we're one of the larger cities in the state. So this bill requests $12 million toward the construction of vital infrastructure to support development in the northwest corner of Brooklyn Park and the Biotech District. And currently, there is no city water serving large parts of this area. Water pressure and capacity, as stated earlier, are near limits as development continues. That's important because the 700 acres of land are ready for development in Brooklyn Park. When we look at those disparities, which cascade, which actually percolate all the way up to the state level, we are looking to grow our way out of that with the biotech district. So we're looking to bring 10,000 jobs with that district. Also, much needed housing, not just for Brooklyn Park, but for the entire region. And we think within this group, within this population of over 100,000 within the region, we will be providing jobs and much needed economic development. We also have a number of workforce assets, which includes three established colleges, and then we have a workforce that is really looking to get at these jobs. So this water tower is incredibly important. And City Engineer Mark Culver is going to talk more about that, but this is a critical need for us to develop this area, which is very much needed, not just for Brooklyn Park, for the entire region.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Culver, please state your name for the record. You may proceed.
Thank you, Chair Franzen. My name is Mark Culver, City Engineer with the City of Brooklyn Park. Representative Vang and Mayor Winston have done a wonderful job already of laying out the need for this, but just to highlight the specifics. We do have ongoing development in this northwest area that is just at the tipping point of fire flow protection pressures, and it is to the point where we will have to limit any additional development in this area until this water tower is constructed and provides that desperately needed pressure in this area.
So, all right. Thank you. Members, do we have questions? Representative Carroll.
Not a question, Chair, but a comment, if you allow me.
Oh, sure.
I just wanted to welcome Mayor Winston to the community. It's great to see him again. He's a wonderful public servant. When I was on the Plymouth City Council, we often worked together and did good things. So thanks. Good to see you.
Well, since we're sharing stories, I lived in Brooklyn Park for a hot second after college, too. So let's see here. Representative Allen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just was kind of wondering, how many houses are you guys currently, or residences are you guys currently serving in with your water system in Brooklyn Park?
Who would like to take that, Mr. Culver?
Well, the population of Brooklyn Park is over, as the mayor stated, over 86,000. I don't have the exact number of households that we are serving with water currently, but yeah, it's a substantial number.
Representative Allen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The other question I have is, any idea what your current rates are monthly for the average household?
Mayor Winston.
Do you want to go ahead?
Mr. Culver.
Chair Franzen, if I may. Yes, thank you. We're currently, for residents under, I believe, 40,000 gallons, they're paying about $2.60 per 1,000 gallons with a base monthly base fee of about $10 per month.
Representative Allen.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Scraba. We do.
I'm excited about the 700 acres developing because any new development, especially there, it's kind of like from northern Minnesota, I think it's all developed out. And it's like it's not. It's not even close. How much of the interstate or highway do you have to maneuver to get into this 700? And the reason I bring this up in transportation, when you add new jobs like in this busy area, you have to buy non-transportation projects for everything, and it just adds to this to try to knock it down. And I don't want to invest in something that's not going to happen because you can't do the transportation. The way I'm trying to say this is I want to support this 1,000% because I really, the bigger you get, the less everyone has to pay. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Culver, you'll have to convince him he needs to support your bill.
Thank you, Chair Franzen. We have made substantial investments in the area for transportation. 169, 610, we're actually upgrading 109th Avenue, which is at the north limits of this area, the north limit of Brooklyn Park. So the transportation infrastructure is there. We'll obviously need to construct supporting roadways, local roadways, collectors, and that to support the future development. But that is a part of we're undergoing a Northwest Area Plan right now that is going to outlay all of those necessary components. We'll be doing an AUAR to detail not only the utilities but also the transportation network and other investments that need to be made in order to support this important development.
Thank you, Mr. Culver. Representative Scraba, and then that is it.
I just want to make you aware of the new law change last year about increasing transportation. Thank you,
Chair. Member, I'm very aware of that. Yes, thank you.
All right, Representative Perez Vega.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Bank, for bringing this. And Mayor, I think it's important to highlight here when we're thinking about this is that this specific project is bringing housing initiatives. It's bringing also a workforce that's going to give back to our state. And most importantly is bridging in to highlight the effects of the racial disparities. And as someone that loves to visit the city of Brooklyn Park and do shopping, whether it's at the Asian markets or the Liberian and African markets, I see the future in what this is going to be providing for this community. And that's why we're here. So thank you for bringing this up today. Thank you.
Mayor?
So very quickly, Madam Chair, thank you. And Representative, thank you for that. I'll just say that I think a lot of times we have people come and we're talking about these disparities and how pernicious they are and they're not going away. And I think we're taking a novel approach in terms of saying, listen, we have the land, we're going to invest in that, we're putting some of our own dollars into that, but we very much want to grow our way out of that. And we think it's going to be through economics. And again, if we're bringing 10,000 jobs and we're bringing 3,000 to 5,000 housing units, and a lot of that's going to be market rate or workforce, I think we're doing our fair share to address many of the issues that we're seeing, not just within our region, but at the state level. Thank you.
Thank you. Closing thoughts, Representative Vang.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just want to appreciate the time that y'all are here today.
Thank you for presenting. Thank you for coming down from the center or from Brooklyn Park, gentlemen, and advocating for your city. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
All right, Representative Ray Rauer. I had help from Lead Lee there, so I spelt it out on how I can pronounce it. You may state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
So my name is Carrie Ray Rauer. Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to start with a motion to move the A1 amendment.
Oh, no, we don't move any bills. We're just hearing it on informational, so okay. Just proceed.
So the Coon Rapids Dam is what we're talking about. It spans the Mississippi River from Brooklyn Park to Coon Rapids. It has functional and aesthetic benefits and a very long history. It's truly a centerpiece to our Mississippi Gateway Regional Park in Hennepin County and the Coon Rapids Dam Regional Park in Anoka County. Together, they serve over 1 million visitors a year. It has a gorgeous walkway across the top, which I've gone across many times. It's almost a half a mile across with an elevated observation deck. Gives visitors a close-up and breathtaking view of the immense force of the water. There should be a handout in your packet with a picture of the dam. It has 42,000 cubic yards of concrete, 28 gates, and each of the gates is 33 feet across. With former Representative and Senator Jerry Newton's support and hard work, the dam was reconstructed in 2012 with $16 million appropriated in the 2011 first special session from the state by the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources to serve as a major barrier to invasive carp. This was completed in 2016. There's been no additional state funding since then, and it has been an effective invasive carp barrier. I'd like to introduce testifiers with me today. We have the chair of Three Rivers Park District Board here, John Gibbs, and I would like to turn it over with your approval, Madam Chair, to Superintendent Bo Carlson, Superintendent, who will explain the needed repairs and maintenance for the dam.
Thank you for being here, Mr. Carlson. Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Madam Chair, members, thank you very much. My name is Bo Carlson. I'm the superintendent of Three Rivers Park District. And thank you for the opportunity to present this bill here today. As was mentioned, this dam was completely reconstructed back and funded by the state of Minnesota back in 2011. It was recognized at that time that to serve as this invasive barrier, to have a park district that would be responsible for a major piece of infrastructure on the state of Minnesota's river did not make much sense. So actually, as part of that negotiation, there was a joint powers agreement with the Department of Natural Resources that essentially we would cooperate and maintain the dam. Three Rivers Park District's responsible for day-to-day operations, and the DNR is responsible for long-term maintenance and long-term repair to the dam. Thus, the amendment that was introduced or presented earlier. But that really states the case that the state needs to be a part of this project and responsible for the investment that the state made and continue to protect the upstream waterway. This is the last barrier on the Mississippi before you get into the Mille Lacs waterway. There is nothing north of this that you have access along the realm that would actually get into that Mille Lacs watershed. So there are four items that have been identified in the list. It's in the one pager that you've received. The three are just routine repairs that have been identified as part of our inspection program. Those are currently included within the dam repair fund that the state of Minnesota funds. We are currently priority number 9. One of the new elements of that, and the state is aware of this, so upon the repair of that dam, we replaced bag inflatable gates with riser gates that actually have two mechanical cylinders or hydraulic cylinders on each end of the gate. We had a failure in one of those cylinders last year that required the replacement of the cylinder itself. Essentially, what happens when that cylinder fails or seizes, you can't no longer raise the gates, or you can no longer raise the gates. Thus, it is now ineffective as that carp barrier with the inability to create the differential and elevation from the upstream pool to the downstream waterway. The replacement of those cylinders each is about $75,000. There are 10 different gates, and each gate has two cylinders on each end of it, thus about a $1.5 million investment with some additional coffer barriers that are necessary to get the construction done. Assuming that one of those cylinders rusted out, they are all of the same generation. The assumption is all of them are in the same condition. So it is vital that we look at replacing those cylinders as soon as we possibly can, again, to assure the function of the dam as a barrier on the Mississippi. And with that, Madam Chair, I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Superintendent. And so knowing in your handout, and you mentioned in your comments that the DNR is responsible for the maintenance, and 2016 is only 9 years ago. And so can you tell us, you know, have the DNR done their part of the, or share their share of the agreement to do the maintenance, and why are we having to, you know, put in significant amount of dollars for all of these fixes if they were responsible for the maintenance fees?
Fun question for you, Mr. Carlson.
Madam Chair, Commissioner Lee, Representative Lee or co-chair Lee. So the Dam Repair Fund is the only source of funding for the DNR for repairs, and the needs throughout the state of Minnesota are tremendous.
When you look at dam infrastructure throughout the state of Minnesota, dams both owned by the DNR as well as dams owned by local units of government, unfortunately, it's a situation that the Dam Repair Fund has been underfunded historically and not seeing the amount of investment that's necessary to keep up with that. When you look at the governor's priority list just for 2025, I believe the replacement of the Rapidam Dam itself is about a $25 million project, if I recall correctly. So there is significant need statewide. That's why these all get pushed back. We will be submitting, and they're aware, as I mentioned before, the hydraulic cylinder issue, and hopefully that'll reprioritize us on the priority list within the Dam Safety Fund, that we might rise from the number where we're currently at and maybe get into that funding level, depending where ultimately the state decides that needs to be.
All right, Leadley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Last follow-up. So you did mention the Rapidam Dam, and so in a worst-case scenario that something happens to this dam similar to that situation, who will be responsible for repairing the dam? Would that be the Three Rivers Park District, or would that be the Minnesota DNR?
Madam Chair, Coley Lee, again, we have a joint powers agreement that indicates that responsibility would be the DNR and ultimately the state of Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. All right. And we are out of time. Sorry, Representative Carroll. But thank you for making your way to the committee today, and thank you, Representative Ray Rauer, for advocating for your communities.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate your consideration, and we want to keep the investment for that invasive carp barrier. Thank you.
All right, Representative Scraba, you are up next, and we have some testifiers over the Zoom. And we've got one in person, I believe. So make your way to the testifying table. This is House File 446 for St. Louis County.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Co-Chair Lee, and members. Co-Chair Lee asked the question I was asking before. Who owns the dam? So thank you. That was the last question I had. I'm here today. If any of you have been to northern Minnesota, we have this great waterway of the border water that goes from the Rainy River watershed to Hudson Bay. Part of it is the Rainy Ash River, Namekin, Kabtogama, Rainy Lake, and Crane Lake. And there's been a substantial amount of money spent on cleaning up the lake. There's a lot of housings, and there's a lot of public dollars that have been helped to clean it up. And this is just a continuation, and I'm going to let Commissioner Jugovich from St. Louis County explain it better. Thank you.
All right. Commissioner Jugovich, correct?
I've been called much worse.
Is it Jugovich?
Either way.
Okay.
Depends where you are on which side.
How we're feeling? Great.
On you are. Thank you for hearing me today, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Mike Jugovich. I'm a St. Louis County Commissioner, and also I am on the Joint Powers Clean Water Board for the references that Representative Scraba made. We're here today with an ask, roughly $7 million, and we are looking at putting very expensive and difficult infrastructure because of the lay of the land where we're at. I don't know if anyone's familiar, but it is rock, and it's very difficult, very expensive to get these infrastructure needs met when we're dealing with these difficult conditions. We are also the stewards of the United States' only national park, water-based national park, and we take that very seriously because we are working to clean our waters. We're working to make sure our infrastructure is good, and at the same time, we are trying to clean up where we've had issues in the past. There's been past issues where we couldn't swim in parts of the areas because of wastewater. So we're cleaning wastewater. We are providing service, but we are definitely looking forward to being stewards, continuing to take care of that precious, precious water base. So if you have questions, I would be happy to answer, but we are here looking for help with continuing our project that we've already put roughly $30 million into, and if we are lucky enough today or in the future to get some funding, we can leverage that with state, local, and federal dollars to move our project forward and clean water for our area.
All right, thank you. And if I know one person that's going to be really loud about your projects, it's Representative Scraba. Members, do we have any questions? Representative Carroll, did you want to ask one?
No.
Okay.
Oh, we do have an online testifier. I forgot about that. Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
I'm Jason Chopp. I'm engineer with the Joint Powers Board and Ash River Sewer District. I'm just here to assist Commissioner Jugovich with any technical questions that may arise.
Okay.
So,
Representative Scraba.
Yeah, one of the unique things about Ash River is it's the community that's there, all the houseboats and everything that go out of there. There's quite a bit of activity, and the properties that own there. There's nowhere else to put the septics are going to start. They're aging out, and there's nowhere to put fields, new fields. It's all being developed. So in order to make this work, we have to build this system. And it's tricky. When I was on St. Louis County Planning Commission, people were coming in. We were giving variances to everyone to make everything work. And it was like, there's got to be a better solution than what we're doing. And this is going to be that solution.
All right. Thank you, Representative Scraba. All right. Seeing no other, thank you for making your way down to the Capitol today. And it was great testimony from everybody who showed up today. Thank you.
Thank you, Members, Madam Chair.
You're welcome. Thank you. Members, our next meeting will be March 18th, where Lead Lee will become co-chair Lee. And we are excited to have this co-chairing agreement, and I know it's going to work well together. And with that, our meeting is adjourned.